The world is on the verge of global change. The speed of data transmission has increased by multiples of millions. The rate of globally significant events and that of discoveries and crises is growing exponentially. Our civilization is like an uncaptained ship, sailing on rough seas with neither chart nor compass, all the while moving faster and faster. The time we have to make the right decisions is shorter and shorter. We are facing the choice to fall into a new dark age, into affliction and degradation, or to find a new model for human development and create not simply a new civilization, but a new mankind. Historic crises show that to break the deadlock, we need technological revolution. It is clear that today's revolution will also require the deepest social transformation. The world's community and leaders should encourage mankind, instead of wasting resources on solving momentary problems, to focus on the technologies of the future. Nanotechnology, biotechnology, information technology, cognitive technology, genetics, and robotics. Doing so will allow us to find new sources of energy, create fundamentally new architecture and transportation, allow unprecedented developments of human cognitive abilities, refine artificial intelligences and brain-computer interfaces, stimulate complex systems, create humanoid robots and cyborgs, and with the help of nanorobots, we may develop manageable matter. Find ways to transfer one's personality to an artificial carrier. Yet what we need is not just another technological revolution, but a new civilizational paradigm. We need new philosophy and ideology, new ethics, new culture, and new psychology, and even new metaphysics. We must reset our limits, go beyond ourselves, beyond the Earth, and beyond the solar system. This is an adequate response to the challenges of our time. Thus, new reality and future man will arise. Could it happen spontaneously? By itself? Unlikely. Humanity does not have a master plan of its development. It seeks stability. It lives in the present and does not plan. It preserves the status quo and tries to escape development. It does not tend to map future centuries and take responsibility for evolution. In consumer society's culture, there is no evolutionary vocabulary and rhetoric. To break the deadlock, the Russia 2045 movement was founded. It is a mega project intended to reach new heights and meanings. We intend to create a new vector for civilization, aimed at constant human development and evolution. As happened with the mega projects of the last century, the nuclear and the space programs, we integrate the latest discoveries and developments from the sciences. Physics, energetics, aeronautics, bioengineering, nanotechnology, neurology, cybernetics, cognitive science. May everlasting spiritual ideals and values help us avoid going astray. Our project will give new meanings to the millions of people on Earth, will become a result of their joint creativity, and will lead us out of the impasse. Away from the murder of nature and physical death, forward to the realm of freedom and creativity, to the depths of the ocean and to the stars, to the infinite universe of our inner world. Our forecast for the next 40 years. February 2012. Global Future 2045 Congress is held in Moscow. It is a debate platform for discussion of our civilization's prospects for development. 2012 to 2013, the global economic and social crises are exacerbated. The debates on the global paradigm of future development intensifies. New transhumanist movements and parties emerge. Russia 2045 transforms into World 2045. Simultaneously, the 2045.com international social network for open innovation is expanding. Here, anyone interested may propose a project, take part in working on it, or fund it, or both. In the network, there are scientists, scholars, researchers, financiers, and managers. 2013 to 2014. New centers working on cybernetic technologies for the development of radical life extension rise. The race for immortality starts. 2015 to 2020, the avatar is created. A robotic human copy controlled by thought via brain-computer interface. It becomes as popular as a car. in Russia and in the world appear, in testing mode, several breakthrough projects. Android robots to replace people in manufacturing tasks. Android robot servants for every home. Thought-controlled avatars to provide telepresence in any place in the world and abolish the need for business trips. Flying cars. Thought-driven mobile communications built into the body or sprayed onto the skin. 2020 to 2025. An autonomous system providing life support for the brain and allowing it interaction with the environment is created. The brain is transplanted into an Avatar B. With Avatar B, man receives new, expanded life. 2025. The new generation of avatars provides complete transmission of sensations from all five sensory robot organs to the operator. 2030 to 2035. Rebrain. The colossal project of brain reverse engineering is implemented. World science comes very close to understanding the principles of consciousness. 2035. The first successful attempt to transfer one's personality to an alternative carrier. The epoch of cybernetic immortality begins. 2040 to 2050. Bodies made of nanorobots that can take any shape arise alongside hologram bodies. 2045 to 2050. Drastic changes in social structure and in scientific and technological development. All the prerequisites for space expansion are established. For the man of the future, war and violence are unacceptable. The main priority of his development is spiritual self-improvement. A new era dawns. The era of neo-humanity.
Pastor Jason Cooley here, and I'm here for Brother Jim, and we are here at OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. And we are coming to you with another OPBC Online, and we have been discussing AI. And, you know, Brother Jim, how you doing, first of all?
Good, brother. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing good. I'm awake, and it is Tuesday afternoon, and we are early.
Yep. Yes.
I'm telling you, we do a show late, but we're early, you know, we took some time to be able to do this, and we're looking forward to it, looking forward to helping some people with this topic and explaining it. The video that you just saw as we come in here, you saw a timeline, basically, of the goal of basically mind merging, singularity, mind hacking, mind control. It's all a part of the singularity. It's all a part of preparing for the singularity. It's all a part of this new age movement to – what I believe is just another rung, or maybe the final one, in evolution.
Yeah, it's, you know, the end game, the end result, the end desire is immortality.
Yep.
You shall be as gods.
Absolutely, and that's where they're headed with that. As we looked in the book of Genesis here, we've talked about this many times over. This is where it's all heading. It's heading in this direction here. People are thinking, you know, but – it's like I want to preach a message sometime, not Wednesday, but maybe even Sunday, on marketing the mark of the beast. And that's exactly what this all kind of ties into here as we teach this week. And this will go online, Lord willing, maybe Friday. We'll try to put this online, I'm thinking we'll probably, you know, not get to it, everything done until then. But Friday or Saturday, I hope to have this up online for everybody to listen to. But, you know, It's leading up to this thing about mind control. And when you talk about AI, you got to talk about mind control.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, the whole point is the whole usage of AI and robotics and androids is basically in the humanistic transhumanism standpoint is to find a container for your brain.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, when we talked about those guys chasing Bigfoot down and talked about, they were talking about a lot of weird things. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of alluded to some of that a little bit in life.
Yeah.
You remember that? It was kind of weird. And, you know, I think what the New Age wants to accomplish will not be accomplished until that fire comes down from heaven to give life unto the image of the beast.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's a very good point, because they've been chasing this, you know, what do they always call? They've been chasing this Holy Grail for how long? And, you know, technology continues to ramp up, but we still see, as we're researching this, so many scientists are like, well, yeah, you know, Moore's Law and everything's doubling every 16 to 18 months, but we're still way off on a lot of this stuff. Like, there's just still a lot of stuff we don't understand. There's still a lot of stuff we can't do yet that we want to be able to do. So I agree with you. It's going to be a satanic supernatural event.
Yes. And, you know, I talked about that last week when I talked about the image of the beast and life given to the image of the beast, how, you know, all these scientists want to accomplish this thing, but there's something they're missing. The fire.
Yep. Right.
They
life.
Can't do it without the fire.
Yeah.
Life. And this microchip and, you know, whatever it is, this chip that's coming, this AI mind control, it's all about that, okay? It's all about them doing that. So I want to start out in this article here. This is an article on The Guardian, and it's called "Are You Thinking What I'm Thinking? The Rise of Mind Control." Now, Brother Jim, this is not an independent Baptist that wrote this.
Nope.
This is not a crazy Baptist that believes in conspiracies that wrote this. This is written, as a matter of fact, by a man named Tom Ireland.
Yeah, and it was written in August of 2015 as well, by the way.
It's not that new.
Yeah.
Which means that they have been moving things forward.
Yep.
Okay, so let's listen to this here. Our 100 electrodes are pressed tightly against my scalp, and a mixture of salt water and baby shampoo is dripping down my back. The goings-on in my slightly agitated brain are represented by a baffling array of graphs on a screen in front of me. When I close my eyes and relax, the messy spikes and troughs become neat little waves. Next, scientists here at Newcastle University's Institute of Neuroscience induce small electric currents in different parts of my head using a technique called transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS. Sounds creepy. Sounds like Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
If they fire the device a few millimeters to the left of my brain's motor cortex, I feel nothing. Hit my sweet spot, however, and my arm moves of its own accord.
Is that sweet spot, is that like the Kundalini sweet spot or what?
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It sounds like it. I'm here for a demonstration of the tools underpinning what many call mind control technology.
Mm-hmm.
Neuroscientists believe it will soon be possible for humans to control robotic avatars using the power of thought alone. Now, let's stop there, Brother Jim. What does that mean? When somebody says they want to control something with the power of thought alone, what does that remind you of?
Well, it reminds me of a lot of things, but it reminds me from the whole Gnostic side of Star Wars and using the Force and all that stuff.
You're not the droids you're looking for.
Exactly. Exactly. And then, you know, making stuff float in the air and all that stuff. I mean,
bringing his lightsaber to him.
To his hand, yeah.
I used to call them lifesavers, like the lifesavers, but it's lightsaber.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
I got that hillbilly ingenuity from my father, by the way. My dad doesn't use real names. He just calls people what he thinks their name is.
How do you say Chimley?
How do you say Chimley?
It's awesome.
Anyway, they would call that lightsaber to them, right? And they would do those things. And what is that? Telekinesis? Is that what that's called?
Yeah, that's telekinesis, yeah.
Right, that's what that is. And all those things. Now, that's the direction that we're heading with this. See, they're going to need some help to do this.
Yeah. And they've been trying to overlay this with our mobile devices with gestures. You know, every new mobile device that comes has gesture responses that by doing certain hand gestures without touching the device, you can accomplish certain tasks, you know. And yeah. that is all they're that's basically the predictive programming part of it, because this is what they wanted from the beginning.
Well, I find it weird that, like, if I turn my phone upside down, it doesn't know that it's upside. It doesn't turn it on. But if I turn it up, it automatically turns on.
Mm-hmm.
The screen automatically comes on. It
yeah.
knows. Right?
Yeah. That's artificial intelligence. That's what that is.
Right. And if you say those two words for an apple, I don't want to say them because
yes.
Siri yeah. will turn on if I do that. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, but if you say those two words, boom, they're already moving. So and, you know, Siri is basically trying to read your mind and get what to please you as your personal assistant there
yeah.
and to give you your AI personal assistant to give you exactly what you want.
Yep. Yeah. And that's Google's end game as well, is when you go to search on Google, Google wants to have in the search bar what you want before you even do anything.
Right. So this mind control now, but it's moving into being in you so you can control things with just your mind. So it says here, the power of thought alone, or even to send thoughts or intentions from one person's mind directly into another person's mind. A terrifying prospect for fans of cult sci-fi films such as Scanners, where society is controlled by an elite force with mind control and telepathic powers. You know, the stuff that I studied when I was a, or watched when I was a kid, studied. I didn't study anything but cartoons. But the stuff that I watched when I was a kid, now it's all coming true. It's all like
yeah.
before it was just sci-fi, and it was like, hey, this is all
yeah.
fake fun stuff. Well, now that I'm older, I'm seeing. Wait a minute, now this stuff is like they're doing this stuff now.
Yeah, yeah, it's reality.
The Jedi mind trick. Is real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
And that's what, you know, when you read some of these guys, like some of these doctors that are I was listening to this one TED talk of this doctor, and he does heart stuff and
yep.
liver stuff, and he was saying, you know, when I was a kid, I was just this big sci-fi geek, and I read all the sci-fi books and all that stuff, and then he just went on to basically explain how the goal is to, you wake up in the morning and you back yourself up, and then, hey, regardless of what happens to you during the day, we can just always download your backup into a different substrate. And so this way, if you screw up during the day and die, you know, 80% of what you are right now is better than nothing, right? So, you know, as long as you back yourself up in the morning, you know,
you're
you can kind of, yeah, you can do whatever you want. Hey, you never went skydiving before. You want to go skydiving? Hey, if you die, we'll just, you know, we'll download you into some other substrate, which, and that, see, that plays right into not only transhumanism, but androgyny, because they're going to be downloading you into a robot, into a plant, into, you know, whatever's convenient. And you know what that really makes me think of is Legion, you know? Yeah. And when they were talking to Christ, they said, hey, you know, put us over there in them pigs, you know, don't send us out into the deep.
Yeah, it's modeled after the spirit world.
Yep.
This whole thing is modeled after the spirit world, because that's going to be the spirit that works it.
Yeah.
But how they're going to sell it to people is what we're going to talk about a little bit later, about mind hacking and mind control and everything else, because you're being inundated with things like dementia right now and everything else.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be something if you could cause something to happen over the course of years in society by vaccines and by food and by everything else? And then wouldn't it be something if you actually fixed it?
You mean
problem?
Like problem, reaction,
solution.
Yeah.
Nah.
Not only that, but now, I mean, talk about having the golden ticket. I mean, so now, you know, what person doesn't fear dementia and losing your wits and not being able to even use the restroom or feed yourself? And now you can fix all that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely you can. And that's the goal. The goal is for them to not only fix it, Brother Jim. They don't want to just fix it. They want to make you better.
Right.
Better right. than the original. Adam 2.0.
And in the process, they end up owning you and owning your soul, so to speak.
Absolutely. And I believe that's what this is leading up to.
Yeah.
Okay, so some even think that people will one day connect their brains together via the internet to form an enormous collective super brain. Okay, so stop. Where have we heard that before?
The Borg.
That's right. That's right. And everything is going to be the Human Genome Project, right?
Yep.
Everything is going to be where? Up
in the cloud.
Yep. And you're all just connected in the cloud.
It's really interesting when you listen to these guys talk. This was actually one of the guys that's kind of responsible for inventing the internet. And he was on this documentary and he's taking you through this, not UC Berkeley, but somewhere in California. And he's like walking you down there and he's like, you know, this is sacred ground and this is a holy place. And, this is the first machine basically, where the internet started. And what he said, which was really interesting, he said, basically what we found out is that the bigger the internet is, the better it works. So, and I remember, you know, the internet went online in, I think, 94. And, I remember initially their concerns were when I was reading about it, they're like, well, this can only get so big, you know, and then what are we going to do? Because the infrastructure can only handle so much. But what they found is that actually the bigger it gets, the better it is and the more efficient it is.
Right. Because it's all feeding into the collective.
Yep.
Yep.
And yep. I mean, from a scientific perspective and from a logical, rational perspective, there's no reason for that. There's no explainable reason for you develop this HTTP protocol. You develop this computer language for computers across time and space and different platforms to communicate. And there is nothing that in any type of mathematical equation that would ever lead you to believe, oh, hey, the bigger this thing gets, it's just going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
That just doesn't – there's even regular laws of science, nothing says that. Nothing says, oh, well, as it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, it's just going to get better and more efficient.
No, there's definitely something sinister behind it.
Yes.
Yep. Sure. And we know what that spirit is.
Yeah, amen.
Called the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Amen.
And that's what's really going to happen. Here in Newcastle, researchers hope such technology can be used to restore movement to people affected by paralysis or disability. Now, see, Jim, here's the main way that they're going to sell this mind control, mind hacking, mind thing. This AI, this integration singularity is through health problems.
Yep.
If you have dementia, if you can't move a muscle, man, if I give you this chip and make you a part of the singularity and make you a part of the Borg, make you a part of the collective, then guess what? You're going to be able to walk again.
Exactly. And that's why, okay, that's why this is back in on April 2nd of 2013. I'm going to quote then President Barack Obama. This was the next great American project.
Mm-hmm.
And I quote, so there is this enormous mystery waiting to be unlocked, and the Brain Initiative will change that by giving scientists the tools they need to get a dynamic picture of the brain in action and better understand how we think and how we learn and how we remember. And that knowledge could be, will be, transformative.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. They're admitting it.
Yep. And then what do you know? The U.S. Brain Initiative is a public and private effort comprised of NIH, DARPA, NSF, National Science Foundation, FDA, Food and Drug Administration, and then a new one is called IARPA, which is another, I forget what that stands for, but it's another DARPA, but it has more to do with artificial intelligence.
Well, and we also know that DARPA has been involved with robotics and mind control for a very long time.
Yep.
A very long time. And we don't want to get into any of those conspiracies because there's a lot of them. They're not really conspiracies. They're actually true. But anyway, we'll move right along. But yeah, exactly. So all these sinister players are a part of this.
Yep.
Not good.
Nope.
Not good. A bunch of God haters. Okay, so let's see here. In another demonstration, electrodes detect the storm of electrical activity coming from my brain down to the nerves and muscles of my arm. As I move my fingers, I hear the crackle of individual motor units in my hand muscles firing, amplified through the hissing speakers. The team here are using such signals to help people control robotic limbs or reroute nerve impulses back into the body to bypass damaged nerves. Such devices are known as brain-computer interfaces, or BCIs, and have developed rapidly over the last decade. So what they're going to say is, oh, you got some nerve problems, well, we'll bypass those nerves.
Yeah.
We'll reroute that.
And they're already doing this on a very primal level with people with Parkinson's and those that have very bad tremors. For like $350,000, they'll put electrodes in your brain with a little battery pack, and they'll give you a low voltage currency, and it literally stops the tremors. They've been doing that for a while now.
Michael J. Fox is using that.
He had considered it. It's a very risky surgery. We do know of one person who is older, and they have it, and it does work really well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's something. But that's the way this is all going to be sold, because someday it's going to come down to the fact that, well, you take this, and this is going to go away.
Yep.
You're not going to have that when you're going to be better.
Yeah. And think about it. Think if you've been in pain your whole life, how attractive that would be with people with severe back pain and bulging discs and everything. I mean, how attractive is that to just not be in pain anymore?
Put this chip in your right hand or in your forehead.
Yeah, and you'll be pain-free.
That's it.
Yeah.
International neuroscientists have gone a step further, sending information from one brain into another to create a brain-to-brain interface. Researchers have even made one person move when another person wants them to, all by connecting their brains. So what they're basically, it'd be like me connecting my brain to Jim's brain and being like, Jim, move your arm.
Yeah.
And I move his arm against his will.
And what government wouldn't want to do that?
What government isn't doing that?
Yeah, that's right.
How many people out there believe that they're way farther than this right now?
Extremely.
And they're already doing this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they fund it. So they're like, well, obviously, you know, we're going to fund you. Give us all your data. So as soon as they take the tiniest bit of data that works, they extrapolate it and do it. And they have unlimited resources, and they do it to the nth degree immediately. So right. they work ahead of this stuff. You know, the public displays of research give them the data, and then they run with it.
Yep. Mind control is suddenly not just plausible, but actually rather easy. Wow. You can buy a DIY human interface online for just over £165. That's where I, isn't it? That's what
yep,
the L is
pounds. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Part of a project aiming to make neuroscience more accessible to young people. Hey, so they can figure out how to do mind control. We want to make it, you can control somebody's mind. Here you go, kid. For $165, you got it.
Yeah, it's just like one of those little robotics kits you buy your kid, you know what I mean? And the whole premise is, oh, yeah, you can build mechanical stuff, and that's battery-powered, and it'll do different things. This is like your own, like, little mind-control starter kit.
Part of a subject, okay, part of a subject aiming to make neuroscience more accessible to young people. In one video by neuroscientist Greg Gage, two on-stage volunteers are connected to the device, little more than a few wires, some flashing circuitry, and a laptop. When one subject curls their arm, the other is powerless to stop their arm curling, too. Now, listen to Jim. Read this part of what this man says.
Okay. When you lose your free will and someone else becomes your agent, it does feel a bit strange, Gage says to his young volunteers.
Oh,
you think he's a Calvinist?
He might be a Calvinist. That might be Calvinism. Is that like computer age Calvinism? Is that what that is? Is that AI Calvinism?
It sounds like Calvinistic language to me.
If I was talking to Garrett, Garrett would know what this means. I'd say, don't listen, Gage. Garrett would understand what that means if I said that to him.
That is funny.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, at the cutting edge of this technology, things get a little weirder. Oh, weirder than that. Hey, weird.
Yeah, really.
Somebody taking over your mind. Hey.
Moving your parts, moving your hands.
Moving your body around.
Yeah.
In 2013, researchers from Harvard Medical School announced they had made a device that allowed a human volunteer to move a rat's tail via thought alone. Now, that's a god.
Yep, that's right.
And Satan promised Eve in the garden, ye shall not surely die. Right?
Yeah.
But God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Hey, you know what the, let's see, I think it's the, not the, let's see, is it the NASV? The NASV says, it says you will be God.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds right. That sounds like all those guys on TV.
Yeah.
You're a little God.
Yep. That's yeah. What they say in that version. I read it the other day. I was like, that is incredibly crazy. Mm. That's not what the King James says. But anyway, so they announced that they could move that. The same year, neuroscientists from the University of Washington sent brain signals via the Internet from one individual wearing an electroencephalography headset to another with a TMS device, remotely controlling the recipient's hand movements. One person watching a computer game imagined moving their hand to shoot down an enemy missile. His thoughts stimulated another person's finger to hit the trigger at the appropriate time.
Via the Internet.
They did it through the Internet.
Yeah.
Can I remind you what the Bible says? The prince in Ephesians, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Through the Internet.
And he gave power to the image.
Yep.
Yep.
Folks, do you understand where this VR is going, where this virtual reality headset is going? You are going to be giving your mind over, kind of like possession.
Well, yeah. And I mean, when you start looking into MK Ultra, MK Monarch, and the way that they brainwash people, enormous amount of it is visual, and a lot of it is overstimulation, movies, and all this stimulation that's right in front of your face with the sound, and it's, you know, vivid colors, and that's how they program you. So that's,
you know,
it's
why somebody,
you know, and we already know.
Go ahead, brother.
We know for a fact that Hollywood has been doing it for forever. By splicing in stuff to implant stuff, and we know that it works. Yep.
Well, think about now pornography. When I was a kid, we had Playboy magazines. We had you know, they had some VHS movies. Even when I was growing up in my 20s, they had VHS movies. We didn't have any internet stuff.
Yep, nope.
Okay. And the addiction with this generation, with the millennials, with the latter end of these millennials, is, and these new Generation Z, that addiction to pornography is at an all-time high.
Yeah.
Because of that flicker rate, because of the stimulation and everything they're doing now, they're saying virtual reality. I was just looking at an article today. I didn't even read it, but I looked at the headline of it, and it said the virtual reality pornography is starting to pop, they said.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're promoting it heavily in movies.
Right. So you're talking about that virtual reality pornography. But you know what? That's not new, because when I was a young man, when I was a teenager, there was a movie called Demolition Man.
Yeah.
And in Demolition Man, they had evolved past exchanging bodily fluids.
Mm-hmm.
They put on the glasses, and that's how they fornicated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They didn't touch each other.
Yeah.
They wore the glasses. They wore the headset. Now they're doing that in real life.
They're doing it in real life. Yeah. Predictive programming.
What does that do? It detaches you from reality completely. Oh, it's not real. It's just VR. Well, yeah. God still calls it fornication, and we might cover that in a later show, but you just remember why God destroyed the earth. Remember that?
Yeah.
What was that? Genesis chapter, is it 6?
6.
Genesis chapter 6. Let's go there here.
That pesky Genesis chapter 6, that's still in the Bible?
It's still there. And those sons of God are still not the sons of Seth.
And maybe what the New Testament means when it says as it was in the days of Noah, maybe it just means that the godly line of Seth is going to marry the seed of Cain, maybe the daughters of Cain or something. Maybe that's what that's talking about.
Exactly. You know, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, right?
Yeah.
And what did it say about it? That only the thoughts of their imaginations was only evil continually.
Continually, yeah.
What does that mean? What verse is that? Is that verse 5?
That's Genesis 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Now stop. I'm going to have to teach on this in another, probably a sermon maybe even on pornography and things like that. But what did God say that he judged?
He said that he judged their imagination of their thoughts.
So when you get on VR and you think that's not fornication, you look at pornography and you think that's not fornication, no, that is fornication.
Amen. Just like if you hate your brother, you commit murder.
That's right. God judges the heart. And God says, for their imaginations, I will destroy them.
Yep.
And he did. And what does the Bible say? As in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be.
Amen. That's right.
That's what Satan's after. That's what this mind hacking program is about. That's what this mind control is about. Do you realize what they're saying? They are saying that one person is going to be able to take over somebody, is taking over somebody else's mind and controlling them.
Yeah.
Controlling their body. That's possession.
Yep.
And the devil's teaching them how to do it. Bit by bit, slowly but surely. They're not going to need a monarch program.
Nope, and that's why Paul said in Romans 7, Romans 7:25, He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. So he serves God with his mind. So before he ever does anything, he serves God with his mind. And that service in his mind produces the outward, you know, the outward acts.
That's right. And for the Christian, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Yep. Amen. Every thought.
That's right. Yep. Every thought. All right. So as we move on here, it says here that they had this headset, right, remotely controlling the recipient's hand movements. One person was walking to the computer. They did this all over the internet. Then there's the paralyzed teenager who kicked the first ball of last year's FIFA World Cup opening ceremony wearing an exoskeleton controlled by his mind. Mm. Now, let me go back here. I remember this. When I was a kid, of course, I watched Transformers, the original Transformers. The cartoon. But there's a Transformers the movie, and Spike had this exoskeleton system. And that exoskeleton system, Spike was a man, a teenager or whatever, and he was able to control his body. He was able to control that exoskeleton system. It was made him like a Transformer.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do? They merged man with machine.
Machine, yep.
Kind of like Daniel chapter 2, verse 43.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Iron mixed with miry clay.
Yep. The speed, right, with mix.
Yep.
Okay, so this paralyzed teenager. Now, hey, Jim, if you're a lost man and you're paralyzed or you've got a bad leg and the Antichrist offers you, if you just take this chip and implant this chip inside of you, you're going to be a Superman.
Yeah, and what does that – okay, so one, that solves my problem, makes me superhuman. And two, the guy that gave me the chip, well, what do I consider him as?
A god.
My savior.
Yeah, now let me take it a step further here. And I'm going to cover some of this in Marketing the Mark of the Beast, so I probably don't need to go too far into it. But what about this? Well, you know, you can't have babies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you just take this mark, it'll make you fertile. And you'll be able to have babies.
Yep.
We're going to rewrite your DNA with this, and it's going to fix you.
Yep.
Now, I know we're talking about mind hacking and everything like that, but it all kind of fits together. It does. And scientists at the Star Lab facility in Barcelona, that just sounds bad, doesn't it?
I don't know why.
Meanwhile, back at Star Labs.
Exactly.
Evil white men are taking over the world. Doesn't it sound like a bad cartoon?
It does. It really
does. Meanwhile, back at Star Labs. But you can't make this stuff up, man. I watched cartoons over this eerie when I was a kid. Now this is real life. At the Star Lab facility in Barcelona, who claimed to have demonstrated conscious transmission of information. What is that, Jim?
It's telekinesis.
What do they say? Sending the word hola from one mind to another without either person using their senses.
Mm-hmm.
Who does that? Satan.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
And God can do that. God can send you thoughts, right? Yeah. God can send things. God can speak to the mind of a man.
Yeah.
Through the
deaf. Well, that's where God speaks, you know, other than through his word. I mean, that's where he speaks. To my knowledge, I am unaware of God verbally, vocally speaking to. I know there's a lot of people that say that happens to them, but I am unaware of anybody that actually happens to, you know.
Right, exactly. So, basically, you know, we understand that the devil tries. Why did God tell us to put on the helmet of salvation?
to protect our mind.
Right.
Yeah.
Against what? The fiery
darts
of the wicked one.
Yeah. That's right.
He's what did Peter say? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What the shield of faith is able to protect us from all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Yep.
He plants those in your mind. Pew, pew, pew.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're talking about a man planting into their mind thoughts, sending a word to them through the mind.
Yeah.
This is the next level. This is where it's headed. I'll let you go ahead and keep reading.
And it makes me think of Philippians 2,
yep.
5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Christ Jesus wants to inhabit our mind. Obviously, if you're born again, God dwells inside of you, but that's how. You know,
yep.
He wants to inhabit our mind. And it talks about the mind of Christ, and we want to have that. But, and that's why Satan wants to attack our mind, because he wants to defile it and make us an unclean vessel.
That's right. And if you're lost, then you know what? The Bible talks about that you're taken captive by Satan at his will.
Yeah. And that's why when you're lost, God gives you over to a reprobate mind.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very okay. Nice. So, such experiments understandably make many people feel uneasy. Rumors that the U.S. military is funding research in this area only add to the concerns about frightening potential uses. Could people be forced to move or act against their will, or have their innermost thoughts and feelings extracted from their head?
Yes.
The answer at the moment is almost certainly no.
Do you believe that?
I don't believe it for a second. I mean, we know for a fact with all the Manchurian candidate, you know, like
hypnosis
guys from
and everything.
Yep, Sirhan, and his attorney.
True
you know, his
serum.
Attorney he represented two people that his attorney is thoroughly convinced that they were brainwashed to do that.
And I am thoroughly convinced that he is absolutely correct in that.
And there was actually an illusionist hypnotist in the UK that had this TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And they performed this experiment of how you could hypnotize somebody to do that. And through a certain process, he selected somebody out of the audience and he set it all up and he made it so that this guy pulled out a gun and shot a particular target. And when it was done, they interviewed this guy and he was like, man, I just thought I was at the range, you know, and that was all just through all that mind control.
Mm-hmm. And once you hook up to that and you allow somebody to do that, so think about this. If you're hooking up with VR and all this stuff and you're connected to all these people, what are you allowing your mind to be hacked?
Yeah, you have no idea. You have no idea.
No. And you know what Christ says about the mind? It says, think on these things.
Amen.
What Jesus said, you know.
Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are
right.
pure. Yep.
Your mind needs to be active and not passive.
Amen.
When you're in that VR stuff, you're basically relaxing your mind, clearing your mind, and allowing yourself to be inundated with all kinds of wickedness.
Yep. Yeah, it's that meditative state.
Yep. So that's why watching television and things like that for too long, basically your brain just starts to accept everything without critically analyzing it.
That's right.
You know, then you become in trouble with that. Mm.
The Barcelona experiment, for example, might sound as if one person thought hola and the recipient then heard the word as an inner voice in their head. The reality is very different. The sender spelled out the word in binary code by imagining moving their hands or feet, one movement meant zero, the other meant one. The receiver then received two types of brain stimulation, one which caused them to perceive flashes of light representing the ones, another pulse with no effect represented the zeros. So, really, one person spelled out the word by thinking about moving, and one person got a kind of futuristic Morse code blasted into their head. Impressive, but hardly the Matrix.
You see how they're downplaying this and acting like, oh, it's no big deal.
Yeah, they're downplaying it, and they're also cross-referencing the predictive programming of Hollywood.
Yeah, and showing you that the Matrix was not fake, it was real.
Right.
They want to hook you up to the Matrix and have you live like that. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of fake Christians out there that are sitting in their mother-in-law's basement right now, and those guys are sitting there from their basement there, and that's the world they want to live in. And they could be a superhero fighting the New World Order, and all they're doing is joining it.
Yeah. That's right.
And they're going to be on VR and pornography and all this other stuff. They don't live real life. They're a bunch of fakes.
Yep. Yep, that's true.
And that generation is all over the place.
Yep.
All they do is disseminate information constantly all day long, posting it on their Facebook pages. And they're just – who are they fooling?
It's all virtual.
Yeah, it's all virtual life. They don't go live real life.
Yep. Nope.
It's crazy. Mm. Wow.
The problem is brain-to-brain technology in humans is currently restricted. It's currently restricted to non-invasive technologies.
That's the problem.
Such as the slimy EEG device that is strapped over my head in Newcastle. From outside the skull, such devices can only detect flurries of activity in the outer parts of the brain.
So he's lamenting the fact that we can't be invasive. Now, what's invasive, Jim? What would that be?
That's when you're implanting stuff into the brain. Yep.
That's what he wants to do.
That's exactly what he wants to do. Because this whole putting the skull cap thing on is just sloppy and it's a nuisance.
It's just like the iWatch.
Yep, exactly.
Started out the iPhone.
Yep.
Then you go to the watch.
Mm-hmm.
And then Apple one day will have the iChip.
Mm-hmm. Yep, just like the Google contact lens, the Samsung contact lens. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to put it in you.
Yep.
Where they want it.
Yep.
Reading brain activity with EEG is like trying to follow a football match while standing outside the stadium, says Dr. Andrew Jackson, senior research fellow at the Newcastle Institute. You can tell when someone scored a goal, but that's about it. Activity associated with movement is one of the easiest types of brain activity to detect and reproduce. Capturing thoughts and feelings, which involve highly specific, synchronized activity, is something very different. Sending sensations into the receiver's brain is even less precise. Transcranial magnetic stimulation, the device used to make my arm twitch, can induce electric currents in extremely precise areas of the brain, activating neurons only in those areas. But again, creating complex sensations such as words and thoughts is far beyond the current scope of these devices.
Yeah, right. Jackson says, on the whole, the technology for sending signals is less precise than the technology we have for recording. It's hard to control where you are stimulating, and we don't really know much about the language of brain function. We don't know what sensations will be created by stimulating different areas. Giulio Ruffini, who helped to devise the HOLA experiment, says the transmission of real thoughts or messages rather than a sequence of O's and 1's is probably only likely with invasive technology, the implantation of devices directly into the brain. He's like, look, we can't get far enough with these external things. We got to get into your brain. Who's going to be the first guy to let us stick that in your head?
Mm-hmm.
They're probably already doing it against people's will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a far more interesting goal. The brain perceives something and you stimulate the exact experience in someone else. It has been demonstrated with invasive technologies in animals, and I believe it will be done in humans soon, too.
I'm pretty sure with the brain ignition, because this was 2015, and one of the main lead doctors with the brain initiative, he was talking about this electrode that goes in your brain, and then the only thing that sticks out is this little kind of benign sensors thing that you can hook up to, but everything's inside.
Such implants contain hundreds of minute, needle-like electrodes placed in the precise locations in the brain to monitor to stimulate individual neurons. Stop. How do you know this if you haven't done it?
Exactly.
Come on, man. How would you know this if you've never done it? Placed in precise locations, right? Researchers this year connected the brains of three monkeys using invasive technology and found the animals quickly learned to synchronize brain activity to collaborate in tasks. In a similar experiment, four rats connected with an intracortical devices were able to perform tasks to a higher level than single animals. Now, stop. Do you know what this reminds me of? I'm going to tell you what it reminds me of. It reminds me of, let's see. Let me get the exact verse here. Here we go. Let's see here. Give me a second. I think it's 11. And the whole earth, Genesis chapter 11, and the whole earth was one language, was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and dwelt there. And they dwelt there. And they said one another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime for, they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower when the children of men built it. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language.
Yeah.
And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Right? There you go. There's their imaginations. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one of the speech. So God confounded their languages. What is this doing?
Exactly. It's doing the same thing that Google just announced last week. Yep. That all of their language translation software will all be in real time to any language that you want. So the whole purpose of that Google AI when it comes to language translation is real-time active translation, not after the fact, as it's happening.
Right. Yeah. Modulators that can give you the – remember Star Trek? Remember they had the thing and they spoke that person's language.
Yep, in real
remember
time.
That?
Yeah, and they have the technology. They're doing it now.
What is that? They're reversing. What are they doing? Okay.
Tower of Babel.
They're getting band back together.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you understand? What are they doing? They're building the tower, only this time, it's here.
Yeah, and what about, you know, the speculation about the Tower of Babel and DNA and how it's a double helix?
And what
are they doing?
The Human Genome Project?
Yeah.
They're getting the band back together? I'm serious. There's a program. Jim, do you remember I showed you that article? It was called Babel?
Yes. Yep.
I wonder if I could find that Babel software. It was called Babel.
Yep. And that had to do with, like, different kinds of stuff like internet marketing and
making it all fit together.
Yeah.
Bringing it all into one language. So all those cross languages could be one language.
Yeah.
To make it work. Now, he said, go to, let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one of the speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Now, does it say they stopped building the city?
Nope.
It says they left off. They left off. What does God do there? God destroys them. God destroys Babylon. Babel. He destroys that tower. And now they're continuing to put another brick in the wall.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what this is. Mm-hmm. That's what this is about. They are defying God. No, we will have a one world religion. We will exalt ourselves above all that is called God.
Yep. And that whole paragraph that we're reading about invasive technology with monkey brains, Mengele and the Nazis were doing all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But we defeated those bad, evil, wicked Nazis
and hired them.
World War II.
Yeah.
And shipped them over here and just kept right on doing it. And what do you know? We're still doing it. I mean, 50 years later, 60 years later, we're still doing it.
What did it say they wanted to do, though? They said, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven.
Yeah.
Who wants to do that?
Why? Because when the judgment comes, we'll be safe. We'll live forever. We don't have to suffer the judgment.
Is this evolution?
Yeah.
Who's behind this? Satan.
Yeah.
What do they want to do? I will ascend up to the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
Above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High.
Yeah. And he was always a mocker. He didn't want to be God. He wanted to be like God.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. All right. So moving right along here, Miguel Nicholas, a pioneer in the field, says that if invasive technology... Oh, wait, did I skip one here?
Yeah, you skipped a paragraph with some
that's
really...
That's really an important one, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ruffini is excited about what implants could achieve in humans. It is so much more powerful. Already you can connect humans to an interface that controls a robot, which you use to grab things. If we establish links between brains that are powerful enough, could those people actually be thought of as one and the same person? Could we even communicate with other species?
Mm-hmm.
Miguel Nicholas, a pioneer in the field, says that if invasive technology was deemed safe and ethically permissible, doing something like controlling a car with your thoughts would be fairly trivial. In his book Beyond Boundaries, Nicholas envisages a future where people download their ancestral memory bank or experience the sensation of touching the surface of another planet without leaving your living room.
Astral projection.
Yes. On the phone, however, he is more pragmatic. Higher order brain functions are not available to be transmitted. If it cannot be reduced to a channel, it cannot be transmitted.
You just think about the title of the book, Beyond Boundaries. Who sets all the bounds? Who sets the boundaries?
God does.
Yeah.
And who wants to break them?
Yeah.
Like Nicholas, many working in this field like to entertain all hypothetical possibilities despite the technology limitations and the complexity of the brain. Tellingly, when the UK's Scientific Ethics Committee looked into emerging neurotechnologies such as BCIs and BBIs, they decided the discrepancy between what might be done and what is actually possible was so large that there is no need for any regulatory action for now. What they're saying is we're going to let them develop it, get control of it, and then we'll do something about it after we can use it for our own advantage.
Yeah, we're going to worry about the ethics of it later down the road.
Commercial attempts to create mind-reading EEG gadgets have largely been gimmicks, and when I try the 165 DIU human-human interface from the videos, I seem to just give my friends electric shocks. It all adds up to a confusing mixture of genuinely brilliant science and speculative hype. I'm sorry, you know what this reminds me of? An AI Ouija board. That's what this reminds me of.
Yeah, and see, this is all part of the psychological operation of, oh, we're going to let you buy this little gadget, and we're going to tell you it's going to do all this stuff. And really all it's going to do, it's going to be like one of those little handshake buzzer things that you zap your friends. It's like a gag, you know, and to make it, to basically act like this stuff doesn't really exist is basically what it's doing.
Yep. Invasive technologies, And nothing, nonetheless, invasive devices.
You skipped one, yeah.
Yep. With some experiments I've seen, I'm not quite sure what the point is, other than to be the first person to do it, admits Jackson. Nonetheless, invasive devices are likely to be coming to a hospital near you. And soon, invasive technologies are actually more desirable for a patient who is missing a limb or is paralyzed, says Jackson.
Yeah.
Marketing the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
They might not want to have to wear something on their head. They might want something permanent and incorporated into their body.
Mm-hmm.
As I remove this summer's least sought-after headwear from my poor head, I see that his point. The challenge now is creating safe implants that can function beneath the skin for decades.
I think that it's very obvious that all of these multinational corporations, best case scenario, don't have our best interests in heart, okay? So let's say you do have this gidget, gizmo, thingamabob that can go under your skin, right, and make you walk, okay, and it costs $100,000 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What greedy corporate mogul wouldn't put a back-end drop-dead date in that software component where, well, this will be good for 10 years, you know, and then, well, at the end of 10 years, you'll have to, you know, we'll just have to stick something better in you. And it's going to cost you, and this time it's going to cost you $200,000. I mean, they're not going to, there's no altruism in any of this stuff.
Uh-uh.
It's all about the money, man.
That's right. Others, including Ruffini, remain convinced that humans will be able to link brains more meaningfully, perhaps wirelessly, within this century. Humans need to communicate. We have always tried to widen the bandwidth with which we can do it. With language or letter, phone or internet, it may take 50 to 100 years before we are communicating thoughts, but I think it is inevitable. I'd say within 10 to 20 years, it's going to happen definitely large scale.
Yep, Zuckerberg's already came out and talked about that. Yep,
he's already working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Non-invasive brain-to-brain interfaces. Activity of the brain is detected by a device held on the scalp. So we understand that. The data is amplified, processed. We understand that. The transcript, because we all know that's just basic stuff. They're not really looking to do anything with that.
Yep, nope.
The invasive brain-to-brain interfaces, a special chip containing tiny needle-like electrodes is inserted into the brain and fixed to the skull. Electrodes can be placed with enough precision to measure the activity of individual neurons. Activity is detected, processed, and analyzed by a computer. Electrodes can be placed to stimulate precise areas of the brain, though more precise than TMS. Stimulating complex effects like thoughts or controlled movements is still not yet possible.
And see, that's something else that when you start studying computers, AI, and processing, and this is why it's necessary, is artificial intelligence and computer processing only works if there's an incredibly large amount of data. That's the only thing that makes it work. So where is there a place on Earth where there's a larger amount of data than in your brain and the trillions of processes per second?
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Artificial brain in a dish. Let's go to that article.
Okay.
Artificial brain in a dish is created in the world's first. I'll let you go ahead and start that one out.
All right. Scientists have grown the first working mini brains in a dish, which could provide future treatments for autism and epilepsy.
Okay, stop. So this is it right here, right? This is where they want all these cases. There's like thousands of different cases of autism today.
Yep.
Now, where do they come from? Well, I have a theory, and it's, I think, backed scientifically. I think they come from the vaccines.
Yep.
Problem, reaction, solution. Go ahead.
Yeah. The lab-grown organs have their own brain cells formed into circuits similar to those of a two-month-old baby. Wait a second. This says, okay, now this just said, the lab-grown organs have their own brain cells formed into circuits similar to those of a two-month-old baby in the womb. Now, this just said a two-month-old baby that's in the womb is a baby.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
Yeah. That's not very scientific.
No. No, that would be common sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they don't have that.
Let's keep reading. Describe this thrilling science. Oh, so now it's science, okay? When it fits their agenda, a two-month-old baby in the womb is a baby, and it's thrilling science when it fits their agenda. But when they want to kill babies, it's an embryo. Described as thrilling science, it is the first time a human forebrain has been seen in action outside the body. Scientists hope to use the mini brains to watch in real time the triggers for epilepsy. When brain cells become hyperactive and autism, where they are thought to form bad connections, it could pave the way. Maybe my article's cut off. Hold on a second. I put it in read mode so that way.
Yeah, I did too. So I have to see that lady up above it.
Let me see here if I
could see it. It could pave the way for drugs to treat these conditions as well as schizophrenia. It is also the next step towards a real life Frankenstein, suggesting scientists may one day be able to grow an entire human body in the laboratory. You know, I'm remembering transhumanism and what was that called? Age of Deceit 2?
Yeah.
Didn't he? He talked about that body, right? That they talked about a golem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And giving life unto the golem, right?
Frankenstein. There's something really interesting about Frankenstein and Mary Shelley's Frankenstein too, is that this is really interesting, and it kind of, we don't have to go down this rabbit trail, but Frankenstein was a type of a picture of the French Revolution.
Wow.
And compare and contrast the American Revolution
with the French one.
With the French Revolution. And then think about that in light of this whole animated corpse deal. And it's very interesting.
Wow.
But, yeah.
Now, where'd you hear that at?
Chris Pinto mentioned it.
Really?
In one of his, yep.
Wow, that is interesting. I
thought it was very interesting. Yeah,
it makes sense because the French Revolution was a disaster,
right? And it was godless. Divine. Yes, yeah. Exactly. It was created,
mm-hmm. Manufactured. Yep.
Yep.
Researchers at Stanford University grew two forebrain circuits measuring only a 1/16 of an inch across using only human skin cells. The scientists at Harvard University went a step further, growing a mini organ for more than 9 months to create a human retina, the light-sensitive lining at the back of the eye. Responding to the breakthroughs, Professor Paul Matthews, chair of the Brain Science Division, Imperial College in London, said this: "These reports describe continued advances of the fundamentally important new methods for generations of self-assembled brain organoids." This is thrilling science.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Selena Ray, Alzheimer's Research, UK Senior Research Fellow at UCL Institute of Neurology, said, "This technology will provide researchers with insights into brain development and disease which have not previously been possible. The brains in a dish are the latest advance for stem cell science. Human skin cells are transformed into pluripotent stem cells capable of becoming any part of the body using four genes in a petri dish. These help them unlearn that they are skin cells and return to the state of newborn baby cells."
You can't even begin to decipher the hypocrisy that's even in this article, where, you know, with all the Michael J. Fox stuff and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, and that's why we got to use aborted fetal tissue, right? To do all this research, but then they're growing this stuff, and then all of a sudden it's a 2-month-old baby in the womb. And if you just can't even, the more you listen to these people, they are the biggest walking contradictions. And these are the smartest people in the room.
Yeah, they got devils Big ones. Human. So it says there's a graph here. Human skin cells, number one, are placed in a dish with four genes which make them revert to stem cells. Number two, stem cells able to transform into any cell within the body grow in the dish for 60 days. Number three, triggered by the special solution in the dish, two linked spheroids are created, each measuring about 1/16 of an inch across. They contain neurons from the forebrain and cerebral cortex, the decision-making center of the brain, which makes connections and forms circuits just like those in a baby after 6 months in the womb. Oh, so it is a life thing, and you're killing it. Oh, I see. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they say it again. Yeah.
Yeah. After more than 9 months, a separate scientific team are able to create a mini brain with its own lab-grown retina, which reacts to light like a human eye.
And you're telling me these people wouldn't grow? You can't tell me what these people are already doing.
Oh, no, they're growing.
We don't even want to think about it.
We don't really want to know. But look how they're selling it. Why do people get Alzheimer's?
Yeah. Heavy metal poisoning.
Why do people get dementia?
Yep. From what they spray on us, from their deodorant, from the aluminum, from the vaccines.
Right.
It's all heavy metal toxicity.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but now they know how to cure it, right?
Of course.
And you just need to take this brain and you'll be fine. They stimulated two different types of neurons to join up as they would do in a real human brain. The team says that the find could improve researchers into psychological disorders, such as autism, by providing a new way to study brain disease. The culture or nutrient-rich broth they are grown in, that sounds disgusting, by the way, is then altered to determine which type of cell they will become, in this case, brain cells or neurons.
Hey, think about that. Look at these nutrient-rich broths that they grow vaccines in, with monkey kidneys and chicken guts and monkey poop and all that stuff. Can you just imagine if they're growing your brain in that kind of nutrient-rich environment?
It's thick. The result is a 60-day-old forebrain like a baby's in the womb, although more scrambled in its connections.
Babies in the womb.
It includes the cerebral cortex, the most highly evolved thinking and decision-making part of the brain. Dr. Sergio Pasca, assistant professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Stanford University, said this: "We've never been able to recapitulate these human brain development events in a dish before. The process happens in the second half of pregnancy, so viewing it live is challenging. Our methods let us see the entire movie, not just a snapshot." That's scary, man.
Yeah.
Look what they say about Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'll let you read that.
Alzheimer's disease is the most common type of dementia, affecting an estimated 850,000 people in the UK. Dementia is a progressive neurological disease which affects multiple brain functions, including memory. The exact cause of Alzheimer's disease is unknown, although a number of things are thought to increase your risk of developing the condition. These include, it's become increasingly understood that it's very common to have both changes of Alzheimer's and vascular dementia together, which they call mixed dementia. The implications of the research published in the journal Nature are that human brains could in future be grown to determine the cause of Alzheimer's disease.
So we're going to grow brains to figure out why they get Alzheimer's.
Man, and it's just like every crazy bed, like I think there was an Alfred Hitchcock movie or something with like a brain in a dish and it would talk or something like that. And it's exactly like that. And these,
when I was a kid, I watched Ninja Turtles and that brain was there. Remember that brain?
Yeah. It's the same exact thing. The existing mini brains are hoped to provide insight into epilepsy, where hyperactive neurons cause fits, schizophrenia, and autism. Eventually, it could lead the way to brain transplants, with tissue grown in the lab transplanted into people with brain damage. Now, this is kind of super crazy, but that Mikko Kukau guy, the kind of like silver-haired, long-haired Japanese guy that's into quantum physics and all that stuff. He was talking about, man, and this is crazy, but he was talking about the way that they're going to transition humans into androids, so to speak. And this was like almost his exact words. He's like, yeah, so basically what they're going to, it's going to be a gradual process. So we're going to take chunks of your brain and we're going to take chunks out of your head and we're going to put it in this robot. And that's how we're going to slowly transition. So we'll take a chunk out and then we'll put some microchips in and stuff. And we'll put the chunk of your brain over here, and we'll do it in segments. It's crazy. And he thought that was like a good idea or something.
These guys got to have a gang, a legion of devils in them.
They do. It's crazy.
Ugh.
Okay. For now, scientists have already been better able to understand what goes wrong in people with the rare and serious birth defect, Timothy syndrome. They were able to correct the cell fault causing this defect, which leads to heart problems and epilepsy using two drugs. Oh, they fixed it using two drugs.
Sure.
Yeah, all the great things that drugs have fixed. Previously, most experiments on brains growing in a dish centered on mice, which do not have the same conditions as humans.
That's good.
Really? Dr. Francis Guillemot, group leader and head of the Division of Molecular Neurobiology at the Francis Crick Institute in London, that guy was a devil,
yeah,
said the self-organizing ability of stem cells to become brain cells was remarkable. He said, I would not call these studies game changers because previous organoid papers had already hinted at this. However, they represent large steps forward. This is, after all, the first time that human neural circuits can be observed in action.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's showing you that, okay, so they're working with these artificial brains. They're working with the microchips. They're going to throw this all together into their science.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of Weird Science.
Okay. Yeah, and it's all one big Frankenstein project.
That's all that it is.
And everybody's totally cool with it. And everybody thought that Hitler and Mengele and these guys were evil and they were doing horrible things. But we're still doing it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Doubling down, tripling down on it.
Yeah.
Well, the last article we're going to probably cover today in this is the new human rights to protect against mind hacking and brain data theft proposed. This is a new article written Wednesday, April 26, 2017. And it's in the Guardian as well. And a response to advances in neurotechnology that can read or alter brain activity, new human rights would protect people from theft, abuse, and hacking. New human rights that would protect people from having their thoughts and other brain information stolen, abused, or hacked have been proposed by researchers. The move is a response to the rapid advances being made with technologies that read or alter brain activity and which many expect to bring enormous benefits to people's lives in the coming years. Well, think about Facebook is like already stealing your controlling emotions and stealing data and doing all kinds of stuff.
Enormous benefits. I think another way of saying that is enormous profits.
Yeah, exactly. It's an issue, yep, of control.
Yep.
Much of the technology has been developed for hospitals to diagnose or treat medical conditions. See, that's how they always do it. In the interest of fairness,
mm-hmm,
in the interest of helping others,
mm-hmm,
health interests, like the health care bill, the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to help people get insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Called, yep, the Affordable Care Act.
Always.
Nothing affordable about it. Like the, no, Patriot Act.
Exactly.
We're all patriots. Pass the, yeah, Patriot Act to take all your liberties away.
Yeah.
Right?
And pass the Affordable Care Act and then have a bunch of Republicans that do nothing about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing.
But that's a mind hack if I ever heard one.
Woo.
Okay, so let's see, such as brain monitoring devices that allow people to play video games with their minds, or brain stimulators that claim to boost mental performance are finding their way into shops.
Yeah.
So you can control the video game with your mind, right? Well, if you can control that, then it can control you. You understand that?
That's every nerd's greatest, you know, now they can think in their grandmom's basement and play video games with their mind.
Exactly.
Yep.
But these and other advances in neurotechnology raise fresh threats to privacy and personal freedom. According to Marcelo Ienka, a neuroethicist at the University of Basel, and Roberto Andorno, a human rights lawyer at the University of Zurich. Zurich. Writing in Journal Life Science, Sciences, Society, and Policy, the pair put forward four new human rights that intended to preserve the brain as the last refuge for human privacy.
Mm. Yeah.
Listen, the devil wants to expose what's in your mind to everybody.
Yeah.
Because he wants to be God, and he wants to know what's in your mind.
Right, and what's going to happen at the great white throne judgment.
Yep.
It's just another mock of the whole thing.
Yeah, he wants to be God.
Yep.
That's what he wants. The question we asked was whether our current human rights framework was well equipped to face this new trend in neurotechnology. I think I told The Guardian, having reviewed the rights in place today, the pair concluded that more must be done to protect people. The information in our brains should be entitled to special protection in this area of ever-evolving technology. When that goes, everything goes.
There was a whole movie about this, and I want to say it was like DiCaprio or something, and basically the premise was he would go into like inventors' minds and steal their invention.
Wow.
And he was doing it for mega corporations, obviously, and they were paying him big bucks, and he was going in there stealing their invention, and then they would invent it instead and patent it. And I mean, that was supposedly this sci-fi movie. And here, this is exactly what they're talking about.
Mind hacking.
Yeah.
The information in our brain should be entitled to special protections in this era of ever evolving technology. The suggested new rights assert that the researchers call cognitive liberty, mental privacy, mental integrity, and psychological continuity. The first of these concerns, a person's freedom to use or refuse to use brain stimulation and other techniques to alter their mental state. If adopted, it could defend people against employers who decide their staff might be more effective if they zap their brains with a weak electrical currents. In November last year, U.S. military scientists report that a procedure called transcranial direct current stimulation boosted the mental skills of personnel. So in other words, the Army says they hooked it up to their brain and zapped them.
Sounds like microdosing.
Yes. The devices are available on open market, but there are concerns over their safety.
Mm-hmm.
Duh. The right to mental privacy is intended to plug a gap in existing legal and technical safeguards that do nothing to prevent someone from having their mind read without consent. While modern brain scanners cannot pluck thoughts from a person's head at will, improvements in the technology are expected to reveal even more precise information about people's brain activity. In 2011, scientists led by Jack Gallant at the University of California in Berkeley used brain scans to reconstruct clips of films people had watched beforehand.
Mm.
It's been going on a long time. That was 6 years ago.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. They're so concerned about this, but yet when you look at the stuff Hollywood does with all that flicker rate and inserting clips and different things.
You already know it's mind control. They've been doing it for a long time.
They're already doing it. They've been doing it. Where's all the concern about what they've already done? None. No concern.
None. Today, there are no firm rules on what brain information can be gathered from people and with whom it can be shared. What Ienka and Andorno fear is the indiscriminate leakage of brain data across the infosphere, as happens now with the personal information people share in social media such as Facebook and Twitter.
Yep.
The third right to mental integrity aims to defend against hackers who seek to interfere with brain implants, either to take control of the devices people are connected to or to feed spurious signals into victims' brains. What are they saying? Well, they probe, you put a chip in your brain, and they send a signal for you to go kill somebody, and you kill them, and you go to prison for it, and you didn't even want to do it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a more serious, but what if it's just like, okay, you got this chip in your brain, and it's going to make you Superman, and some hacker hacks it, and maybe just you walk to your ATM and drain all the
money.
And give them all your money.
Or buy these products.
Yep, exactly. I mean, that's an easy one. And all that would have to be is the same thing, just like with Hollywood. All that is you get the impression like, well, I need to buy that, and you buy it. And I mean, you're telling me that every corporation in the world wouldn't absolutely be doing that without, they're already doing it. They're already doing it. And Edward Bernays and all that stuff. Crack the eggs and put it in the, you know, cake mix so it makes you think that you're actually baking a cake when you just bought a box cake, and because you cracked the eggs and put it in there, you think you're Betty Crocker. It's the same thing.
Exactly. The use of, let's see, the third right to mental integrity aims to defend against hackers who seek to interfere with brain implants, either to take control of the devices people are connected to or to feed spurious signals into victims' brains. The fourth right, covering psychological continuity, would protect people from actions that could harm their sense of identity or disrupt the sense of being the same person throughout their life. So what they're saying is to brainwash you, to erase your identity and your existence. Mind control people do that all the time, and there's some devils out there that work with people that try to do that. They try to they create trauma-based mind control where they create a trauma to somebody's mind so they can take it over and they can erase their identity.
And they are already they have already stated that they have done this in mice where they take this little part of a brain that's grown in a petri dish and they put it in this mouse. And they take another mouse, and they take a thought from this mouse over here, and in that new brain thing, they can implant a thought into that other mouse.
Yep.
It's just like Schwarzenegger? Total Recall. It's exactly like it. And they're doing it in mice.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. The use of deep brain stimulation, in which people have electrodes implanted deep into their brains to control Parkinson's symptoms and other conditions, has already raised concerns about its impact on patients' personal identity, with some stating that they no longer feel like themselves after the surgery.
Mm. Wow.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because someone else has access to their brain.
Mm-hmm.
Something else. Ienka admits that it may seem a little early to worry about brain hackers stealing our thoughts, but he said it was usually more effective to introduce protections for people sooner rather than later. We cannot afford to have a lag before security measures are implemented, he said. It's always too early to assess a technology until it's suddenly too late.
No, they know where it's at. They know it's not too early, and it's already too late, and they're pretending like they're going to be smart and be ahead of the curve, and it's already too late.
Right. So what's the bottom line here in this teaching? The bottom line is this: be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about.
Amen.
As a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You got to be sober-minded and not let your mind given over to virtual reality, let your mind be given over to any implants to make you a Superman, to make you somebody else. 8 times in the New Testament, be sober. Be sober. This world is full of games, and that's where it's headed. It's headed to all this is going to be done in the name of medical science, in the name of improving man, evolving man, past his imperfections, past diseases, past everything. It is about that, and that's the direction that is headed to take over the mind. Once you have the mind, everything else is easy
followed.
To control.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why we need to have our mind, the mind of Christ.
Amen. 2 Thessalonians 2 says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind.
That's right.
Or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand.
Don't let any of these people get into your mind and trouble your mind and take it. And take it. You don't take anything that's going to be implanted inside of you. You don't give your will over to another man for him to control you and hook yourself up to this stuff. I'm telling you, the rise of virtual reality and everything is coming, and it's going to be sold as entertainment. It's going to be sold as medical. It's going to be sold as everything like that, and it's leading all to the mark of the beast, hacking your mind so they can take over your body and damn your soul for all of eternity.
And they are, you know, they're already, you know, everything is word games, and they talk about this hack and that hack, and then they say this is the ultimate brain hack, you know, and the syntax is that this is something that's good, it's going to help you be more efficient, but then it's going to be a real brain hack, and it's not going to be good.
No, it's going to take over their mind.
Yeah.
Listen, if we can't stop computers from being hacked. And we have the world's largest hack that just took place.
Yeah.
Right? On Drudge Report, the world's largest hack that took place. Couldn't stop it. Major corporations brought to their knees. You hook your brain up to that thing, the cloud.
You're done.
You're getting hacked.
Yep. You're toast.
Don't do it. That's the warning.
Amen.
Don't do it. That's where we're headed for. That's the steamroll. That's the steamroll towards eternity and towards this evolutionary process for man to be a god. And it's going to end up in the lake of fire.
Yeah.
For those that are lost. Listen, if you're not saved and you're hearing this, understand this technology is all leading someplace. When's the time to jump off of it? When they ask you to let it go in you.
Yeah.
When they want to interface with your mind and your body and your soul, and they want to interface with that, that's when you turn away from that, and we don't use it, and we say, nope, we're not going to do that.
Amen.
If you've never been born again by the Spirit of God, then you know what? You're going to be hacked by Satan.
Yeah.
You're going to be hacked by this system. You're going to believe it. The Bible says that they all might be damned who receive not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. If you're here today, repent. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you listen to this, trust Jesus. Jesus can save you. He'll give you his Holy Ghost, and he'll seal you under the day of redemption. And you know what? You'll have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You can see our gospel witnesses in the videos that we have, the gospel which is able to save your soul. You can look that up on YouTube or on Sermon Audio. And if we can help you with anything, you can contact us and let us know. But we want you to be sober and understand the times that we're headed for. Anything else, Brother Jim, you can think of?
No, I think you hit it, brother.
All right. Well, for Brother Jim, this is Pastor Jason Cooley with OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota.